Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new segment from the Forge 20 podcast. We present to you Raw and Unforged, where we go to the little more real side of us and what inspired us to do what we do, to be D&D players for a D&D podcast. So you'll get to learn a little bit more about us. So we're just going to jump right into it. No advertisements in this episode. We just hope that you guys enjoy.
We're going to go live in 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Forge 20. We are doing something special today. A lot of special stuff has already happened, but by God, I am ready to just fucking kick the ball rolling on this. So welcome to Raw and Unforged. This is the after show for Forge 20 that we want to start doing after each episode that you guys will get every single week. Something a little brief, easy to record, easy to put out for you guys, for your beautiful listening ears, and we appreciate everyone who's tuned in. So, we just got done recording an episode of Thrones, and we had the honor of introducing a character that means a lot to us. We've played with this character, I can't tell you how many times, but this character has had so many awesome, badass moments that it holds a special place in our heart, and we hope that it does the same for you. I want to welcome Parker, brother of Hunter, who is now joining us for Thrones. Dude, welcome, and talk about a fucking introduction, right?
It was really good. It was really good. Hello, everybody.
And I'm also joined by Hunter, of course, our wonderful DM and the person who plays Daedalus.
Yes. Hello. I'm so glad to be here and talk to you guys, even though we literally haven't left call. We're just recording something else after recording something.
It's called recording on top of recording on top of recording.
It's only what the elite do.
All right. Anywho, I want to break the ice with a question. So we're going to kind of do a little round robin kind of thing. So whoever wants to answer this question first can answer the question first. So we've each played these characters. I played Alistair for a bit. You've played Daedalus Hunter, and Parker, you've played Hathron for God knows how long, right? So let's start with the first question. What was the inspiration for your characters?
I guess I'll go first. So Hathron started in Skyrim, I believe, because it was the first RPG game I had played where I didn't play myself, because like Fable and like Mass Effect and whatnot, I kind of just made myself. And so for Skyrim, I didn't do that. And I made a orc, and it took me like 30 minutes, came up with a name by like sounding it out in my head or whatever. Played him, really enjoyed it. And then when we got into D&D really aggressively, that was who I chose to play. And then the play style of it, for the most part, in most of the campaigns has been kind of, if I was in D&D, what would be the most, like, at the extreme end of what I would want to be in that world? And, I'm kind of tall, but I'm not real big, so it was like I'll be tall, big, and the guy that gets to fuck shit up for one. So that was kind of the idea.
Hell yeah. So I guess I'll answer second. I don't want to go first, I don't want to go last. So Alistair started about, oh god, Hunter, I don't even remember, man. When the fuck did we play fucking Strixhaven? Was it 2 years ago? Something like that.
I think it was 3. I think it was 2021.
Yeah, so, like, it was during COVID for sure. We were all kind of locked up, and we still wanted to fucking play D&D with one another. So we were like, oh, why not do this? So I had to think of a character, and I had thought about who are some of my favorite characters that I've ever watched in just about anything, like any sort of medium. So I kind of took a couple of pieces from different places. So for this version of Alistair, I wanted to take the backstory of, it's kind of like Itachi from Naruto, right? Where, you know, he killed his family, but I was like, but did he didn't do it for, you know, quote unquote, the greater good. He did it because he was manipulated, and I've always been fascinated by devils. And I was like, this is the perfect way to kind of mend some of the things that I like in D&D lore and mash it with this kind of like just simple start. And I just kept stacking. And at first I played it by ear in the old campaign. But as we started prepping for this new campaign, I watched Berserk for the first time. And learning about Griffith and his ambition and his drive to achieve his dream, I became really fascinated with that character to the point where I was like, okay, I need to rip a little something from here. Maybe something, because technically Griffith isn't a noble, but there's something noble about him in a way. He gives off that kind of aura. So I was like, I'm going to just like take that and create this fucking cool ass new backstory with it. And that's kind of where I've drawn inspiration from. So what about you with Daedalus, Hunter?
For me, Daedalus was a combination of many things. I tend to make characters, and when I make them, I tend to put a lot of thought behind every aspect of them, from what race they are to their choices, their morality, their flaws. I focus a lot more on their relatability to them and using them as a vessel to cope with trauma or to process things. For Daedalus, I looked at myself and I said, if I was, you know, to describe my struggles with mental illness, my struggles with life and traumas that I've been through, and I was to manifest a sort of character that represents that resiliency, the ability to go through certain trials in life and keep going no matter the cost, no matter what it means, and the willingness to, by any means necessary, accomplish your goals and become who you want to be, even if it means overcoming great traumas and great loss. That's where his kind of idea began. And then it kind of just steamrolled from there with certain characters or things I liked. Like for design, I always went back to, well, if I wasn't human, I would want to be like a dragonborn. I always grew up loving Godzilla. That was like my favorite thing growing up, watching that with Parker and our dad. We would watch Godzilla. So I was like, Daedalus would be he would be like Godzilla. He would be a dragonborn. He would be awesome. And he would have this intimidating aura. But I didn't want Daedalus to be just a simple monster. I wanted him to represent, like I said, a struggle. And then I thought about those themes and what stories that I enjoy that have that kind of impact on me. And a long time ago, it's probably the only anime I really truly enjoy because it was my first and it spoiled me for everything else. It was Berserk. I watched that thanks to Raph back in like 2015, 2016. And that like changed my, I don't want to be dramatic, changed my life, but it really did on my perspective on things, from Griffith and Guts struggle against each other, their friendship, the bond, the betrayal, everything about it. And with Guts, I saw a lot of Guts in Daedalus, their struggles, and that sometimes with life, the struggle is what life is about. For some people, like Griffith or like Alistair, it's about the goal of finding and becoming a lord or a king. But for some people, like Guts or like Daedalus, it's not about that. It's about survival by any means necessary from the get-go, from day one. And as I don't want to give away too much about Daedalus's life, but that is all Daedalus has known is struggle. But now he has a purpose. And I think beyond just Guts, characters like Anakin Skywalker, I would say Anakin's another big influence, this chosen one-like character who falls from greatness and becomes part of the darkness. You know, I like those dichotomies in a character. but showing that they can still find redemption later down the road. I really like those kind of things.
I 100% agree, because, I mean, like you said, life in itself is a fucking struggle, and it's all about how you just keep fucking pushing. And I took that inspiration for Alistair as well. I mean, think about it. He's gone through all these traumas. He's lost his family, and he's decided, just because some Dragonborn came and visited him, said he was set here by the Lord's Alliance, said, I'm tired of the struggle. I need to keep pushing. And honestly, I think that's what makes all of our characters so great. Because clearly, after what just happened in this episode of Thrones, Hathron's gone through some shit, too. And we don't know what that looks like yet, but, man, when we find out, it's going to be fucking crazy. I'm absolutely certain, because this dude obliterated 50 fucking orcs, nat 20 with a fucking hammer, like Great Axe, busted this fucking dude's fucking skull in, and then proceeded to punch the fuck out of the ground. That shit was fucking awesome. Talk about a really fucking introduction. Moment. Speaking of fucking cool moments like that, by the way, what have been some of your favorite moments that you guys have had at a D&D table with any character that you've ever played?
Oh my goodness. I'll go first this time.
Yeah.
And this is not my moment. This is actually Parker's moment.
I got a lot of those.
Multiple. This is like, I'll say one for Hathron now, and then I'll come back and do another one later for Daedalus or for other characters. But the first thing that comes to my mind is we were playing the Waterdeep Dragon Heist campaign. And at the beginning of that campaign, you're in the Yawning Portal Inn, and a troll climbs out from the Underdark, the well in the center of the inn, and it comes out with a bunch of Sturges, right? Well, I don't remember what character everybody else was playing, but I remember Parker was playing Hathron. And we were all fighting the Sturges and the trolls, and something came up where Parker had to leave the table. And he had to actually go to work or something, right? Like, he got called in, and Parker's like, well, shit, what am I going to do? And he sees his character, the troll's back is to the well, and Parker's character's like maybe 10 feet away, and Parker's like, well, I got to leave anyway, so I'm going to do this. And he rolls. He's like, I'm going to roll to tackle the troll down the well. Mind you, this well leads to the Underdark. This is like a mile deep. He's going to tackle this troll and go a mile down and hope he doesn't die. Well, he goes and he rolls to tackle this thing, and I remember he nails it. He tackles this troll, double leg shoots takedown. They go tumbling over the edge, and Parker's like, I've done my job. I'll see y'all later. And he goes to work, and the DM rolls the damage, and Hathron ends up living from the fall. He tackles this troll, and they go tumbling all the way down, curse splat, and he doesn't tell anybody what happens. We don't know what happened to Hathron. We don't know if he's going to come back, but the next week we sit down at the table and we go to play, and then Parker shows up. Parker sits down at the table, and then they describe Hathron crawling back out of the well with the troll's skin wrapped around him as a cape, like a cloak, and he's crawled back out, revealing that he lived. We thought he all died, and he made a noble sacrifice, but it was awesome.
Hell yeah. That's what I do, baby.
What about you, Parker?
So, there's a bunch for Hathron that I like, and I'll just name a few real quick, because there's one moment in D&D that really sticks in my head. But, you know, there was the goblin he had sex with in, like, one of those first campaigns, and he beat it to death with its own arm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
There's the troll well, which is a great moment. There's the one that just happened. There's the ones where, like, you remember when Hathron punched the wall, and then he broke his arm, but then he just punched it with the other arm, and it broke?
Yeah, like he loosened it. It was crazy.
Ripping a door off the hit, like random little moments that Hathron seems to be able to pull off. But my all-time favorite would probably be when we played with Dad. And my dad had made named Dan Ansem the Handsome.
Most Handsome.
Yeah. And he was like a bard or whatever. And we did like this whole little vampire quest. And somehow it worked out to where, you know, Dad had this like magic dagger thing that could go back in time. a couple minutes, and so like he kind of like saved the day. But it was just having that memory, that time, because you know my dad's still alive or whatever. But it's not like I played D&D with him every fucking week. You know, that was like a one-off thing. Now I have that forever. So that's kind of my number one moment.
That's a good
my
moment,
dad,
Parker.
My dad killed as Dan Ansem.
No, that's a separate session for Dan Ansem. That was a separate one that you and Josh Weaver played at.
His
dad wanted to play. But yeah, we definitely need to get dad at the table to play Dan Ansem Most Handsome.
Yes.
Even if it's a one shot, it would be pretty cool to have him on.
Because that was his character.
Like it's 100% his fantasy character. Because it's if I think what would he want to be? That's exactly who my dad would want to be as Dan Ansem. You can't just say like Parker just now was like, oh, Dan Ansem the handsome. Dan would stop you. It is most handsome. It is Dan Ansem most handsome. Correct yourself, thank you. And then continue on with his day.
Which I got that name from an episode of American Dad. Roger dresses up as a guy named Dan Ansem Handsome. And I really like the name, so I was like, fuck yeah, let's do that.
Don't tell Dad. That's his name.
Yeah.
Let him think that American Dad stole it from him.
You know, I want to clarify that, like, because obviously people have watched American Dad, so.
Of course. What about you, Zach? What's one of your favorite moments, brother?
Man, I'm not going to lie. I have a really shitty memory, and I don't remember many of the characters I played before Alistair, unfortunately. Because I have, a really bad memory. Lots of fucking concussions. Not gonna lie. But I will say, one of my favorites was a one-shot we did for Dalton's birthday. Where I played a tiefling detective named Dietrich. And there was a moment at the end of the session where my character died. I think like a shit ton of us died to a fucking lich. And somehow we all still lived.
Oh, I remember.
That shit was fucking crazy. Just the way it went down. I remember it so fucking vividly. Like, I think, I know I died first. I 100% died first to the Lich. The Lich fucking, I think, power word killed me, if I remember correctly. And then during the combat, someone revivified me, then someone else died, and we thought they were permanently dead, but someone cast a fucking wish spell. Someone had a ring of three wishes. And brought the dead person back.
You were the one that got...
was that me?
Ring of Three Wish, yeah. Because in order to come back from a power word kill, that's what you need.
That's right.
Dalton lived because he had a ring of mind shielding, so his soul went into his ring. And you just had to find him a new body. It was Raph's character who lived against the Lich. I won't spoil who the Lich was. We cannot say. Even on a little... special episode because I plan on using that character in the future. So
yeah, he signed a fucking NDA. Lich
is a very powerful being. I will say that was a really cool one shot. One of my favorites.
Most definitely one of mine too.
That was a fun session. If I had to think like just for my characters, like just for my own, because I named one for Parker earlier, because there's so I remember a lot more about other people's characters and awesome moments they had. Like, I remember when, like, if we're talking about in recent Thrones, I think one of my favorite things was when Alistair and Daedalus were first coming to terms and meeting each other, and Alistair, first broke down, I can't do it, and he fell to his knees, and he had that emotional moment at the table. I really liked stuff like that. I think I remember a lot more about y'all's characters and stuff that y'all have done just because it comes from a genuine place and there's so much emotion with these characters, specifically characters you play long term like Alistair and Hathoron. So I remember so much about these guys because I know they're more than just a character to you. It's a lot of yourself being put into this, you know? So, like, moments like that stick out. But if I had to pick one for just one of my characters, it's probably when... because we played Alistair and Daedalus before. At the end of the original campaign, when Daedalus gave his speech to Levistus, it was, like, the penultimate moment, one-on-one, the champion of Deseret versus Levistus in the Mortal Realm. And Daedalus gave that big speech where he said, I have crawled my way by tooth and by claw to be here in this moment. And I was basically screaming as I let out my anger towards Levistus for all the things he did to Daedalus and his loved ones, taking Alistair from him, taking Ao from him. And that was just a really impactful speech. I remember crying and being so upset and so angry and feeling his rage in that moment. And I remember with each time I said it, in this moment, more anger bubbling and more emotion. That was probably my favorite moment, at least for Daedalus.
It was awesome. That session was awesome in person. And for some of you who don't know, that was Forge 20 in its infancy. I remember we streamed that episode. It was like a fucking 7-hour fucking special.
It was a seven-hour stream.
Yeah. And now we've decided to, well, let's start new. And this is kind of where we found ourselves.
Yeah. I will say we have come a long way. And in a good way. In a good way, for sure.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. So, all right.
I'm glad we get to do it.
Boys, we're going to finish with one more question.
Okay.
This is going to be it. If you had a choice, you're an adventurer. You're traveling. You find an inn, tavern, get some food. What are you ordering?
What'd you say?
You're going to a tavern.
Order from an inn.
Sitting down. What are you ordering to eat, drink, etc.?
What are you drinking? Is that what you're asking?
Or eating.
I'm drinking Dunkin'.
Off your head.
What
the fuck? Parker knew where I was going. Oh my god. That pertains to the last question. I'm sorry. Yeah. It was the phrasing. So there's one time we were sitting at D&D, and I remember we sat down and we did the same intro, like, oh, you find yourself at a tavern, blah, blah, blah. Parker's character goes to sit to the bar. The bartender looks right at Hathoron Blackmane and he goes, what are you drinking? And Hathoron goes, me? I'm drinking Dunkin'. And I fucking lost it. It was so good.
I'm gonna do my best to keep moments like that coming with a little humor here and there.
Of course, you need it. You need it. Can't be serious all the time. It's fucking boring.
Fuck.
What would we order, though?
Rum and Coke.
Rum and Coke?
Interesting. They don't have that in D&D, but in real life.
When Parker goes to the inn IRL, that's what he gets.
Yeah, rum and Coke, please. Six rum and Cokes. And my corkies.
Yeah, I'll take a Sprite because I have a sensitive stomach.
If I was in an inn, I feel like you're obligated to get like a, you know, an ale or whatever, like a big thing, or like some grog. Or, you know, you'd have to get like a typical fantasy drink.
You gotta get mead, ale.
Yeah.
Some fancy mead, like fire wine or something.
Pint of mead, that'd be dope. But if it was like, you know, they had real world drinks in fantasy world, it would probably be a rum and coke or a Long Island. And I would get mozzarella sticks, fried mushrooms, and...
Slow down there, Chief. Jesus.
Calamari.
God dang, we asked for the... not the menu.
And probably a beer, too.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he's Hathoron, though. He could put these down. He could put that down. This is a Hathoron meal he's talking about.
This is the Hathoron meal we're talking about. I totally think Hathoron could chow that down for sure.
That's a snack.
Not even a fucking meal.
What would you order, Zach?
All right. I like bread. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm getting a whole fucking loaf of bread, some fucking beer, and a shit ton of fucking schmeat. I don't care. Venison, fucking steak. Just put it all on my plate and eat that shit. Every single fucking ounce. And then I'm going to sit with a cloak and be all edgy in the corner. You want to buy some death sticks?
The food always looks so good in fantasy stuff.
Oh, dude.
Like, anytime you see it in a movie or an anime or just a cartoon, or you read it in a book even, it always comes off as very, like,
Yeah, they got Guy Fieri in the kitchen.
Yeah, they got dungeons and diners and drive-ins and dives or whatever the hell it is. Remember the 5 D's of D&D: Dungeons and Dragons, Drive-ins, Diners, and Dives. Like, yeah. Thank you, Guy Fieri O'Houlihan. Sorry. I hope somebody listening has seen Dodgeball. But anyways, if I had to pick, I'd pick like a... Oh, man. They always make like these... I don't know what to call them. But in fantasy movies, they've always got these, like, the meat. I can't even tell what meat it is. It's like it's always like some sort of fantasy meat. They'll be like, oh, this is fucking, this is owlbear. And it's like, oh my God, this is the most succulent thing I've ever eaten in my life. And then it turns out to be this horrid thing. Like, oh, that happens to be the ass side of Jabba the Hutt. Like, you're eating his asshole or something. Like, I would probably pick something succulent. So I'll go with something like that. Some kind of meat, like a lamb, something roasted, and then I'd probably do the same as Hathron. I would get a mead.
Hell yeah. I respect these choices. I think these are all valid choices.
And I need the keys to my my carriage.
You're not driving the carriage home, you bastard. Well, I'll say that's all for this run on Forged. I'm Zach, joined by Parker and Hunter, and we'll see you for the next run on Forged. Toodaloo.
Hell yes, yeah. Sir. Take it easy.
Take it easy.